I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 702. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have Paris. Paris, what's up? Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This has been an interesting past couple days in our world.
Yes, very, very, very interesting. So, Paris, what happened? We were supposed to meet up in San Francisco. What happened, man?
Okay, first of all, I don't know if we can talk about what we were doing yet or what you were doing.
Yeah, we could
yet.
Say.
Okay.
We could say. Yeah.
So Friday, I was supposed to fly up to San Francisco for an Assassin's Creed preview event. And, you know, hey, I'm down in San Diego, LA area, so it's a quick flight for me. It's like an hour 10-minute flight from where I am, right? No big deal. Get up 6 o'clock in the morning, go to the airport, 8 a.m. flight. I'll be there at 9. All good. Well, I get on the plane. They actually taxi us out. I get cocky and start tweeting out, ha, 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 little nameless, not little, but nameless Ubisoft employee. He always messes with me about my flight. So I was like, ha, ha, you didn't get me this time, right? As we're taxiing out, I sat on that runway for 2.5 hours. And they canceled the flight. We didn't go. I was like, what the frick? So I wound up spending Friday at home. Obviously, Danny went to the event. He'll have more information about that later for the event. But that sucked because I was really looking forward to getting more hands-on time with Assassin's Creed Origin before launch and be able to, you know, interview the creative director, all that good stuff. So I didn't have a chance to do that. But yeah, so that started off my weekend. And then obviously Donald Trump lost his freaking mind again. Not only attacking NFL players, but then also going after the Golden State Warriors. And today is NFL day. If you're watching this live on Twitch, you can see I got on my Buccaneers jersey, Jameis Winston jersey. But today is going to be a historic day in the NFL because I'm expecting a lot of NFL players to actually take a knee. And I hope to see the same thing on NBA opening night. I'm very happy that LeBron James was vocal about this because he is the most recognized athlete in the world right now. And for him to take a stand against that was big because we can't tolerate this, man. And I hate to make this political. I know this is a gaming podcast, so I do apologize for that because I know there's some people that don't like to hear this stuff. So fast forward about 5 minutes. I'm tired of this. I'm really tired of being a black man in America and to have the leader of the free world be openly racist at this point. You know, you give a pass to Charlottesville for all those Nazis and white supremacists doing what they did, saying, oh, they're fine people. There was problems on both sides, blah, blah, blah. But then you have people like Colin Kaepernick and Michael Bennett and other NFL players who take a knee peacefully to protest something that they're against. There's no violence. There's no anger or anything. It's a peaceful protest. You're simply taking a knee during the national anthem and you call them sons of bitches and you say they should be fired or suspended. And he doubled down on it. I don't know if you saw, he tweeted again here in the middle of the night and doubled down on what he said. Absolutely ridiculous. And for those that are saying you shouldn't take a knee during the anthem, it's against the flag and it's against the military. I proudly served this country in the United States Navy. And trust me, I understand why we stand for the anthem and why that's such a prideful thing. But at the same time, that tool can be used to send a message. You know, this isn't a slight against the military. This isn't a slight against our flag, against our country. It's a slight against racism. And we have the leader of the frickin' free world that is now openly supporting white supremacy and trying to divide this country. sorry, I have to, my tiny little voice here on this podcast, I'm going to say something because I am an African-American. I have served this country. I have a family that I raised to do the right things. And I don't want my kids seeing this and being exposed to this and think it's okay for Donald Trump to say the crazy things that he says. Not to mention, obviously, with Golden State and the NBA, Steph Curry said, look, I'm not going to go. I don't want to go. You know, Donald Trump goes on a tirade again about that. Well, you're uninvited. Gee, Tom Brady said he wasn't going to go. Tom Brady didn't go.
Crickets, crickets, crickets.
Absolute crickets. You didn't seem to care then, but now that you care, since this highly recognizable African-American athlete says he does not want to be in the White House and be near you, you know, so now it's a problem. So, like I said, I understand this is a gaming podcast. I just really had to get it off my chest because...
Hey, let it out, Micah. That, you know, Paris, it's...
And you cut me off. Are you Donald Trump? Now you're cutting me off.
No, I'm just saying that you've been holding that inside for a while. It's frustrating, man, you know? Because I understand where you're coming from, though.
No, yeah, and that's all I'm saying. It's, we live in America. This is the greatest country in the world. So many people have fought and died to give us the rights that we have for the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and all that. Look, just like Donald Trump can say whatever the hell he wants, we should be able to say whatever we want as well, because that's the whole point of this country and the rights that we have. But if I see injustice, if I see something wrong, I'm going to speak up about it. And that's really all it comes down to. And to tell African-American athletes, because you make millions of dollars, to basically stay in your lane and catch a football and, you know, and block defensive ends and just shut the F up is ridiculous. They didn't do anything wrong. And look, don't get me started on Kaepernick. The fact that Colin Kaepernick is not on an NFL roster right now is a freaking travesty. You cannot tell me there are 64 NFL quarterbacks in the NFL right now, starting or backup. You're telling me he's not one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the world right now? Give me a freaking break. Give me a break. You know, and that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But what Trump has done actually is a good thing, because it has put a spotlight on how ridiculous his leadership is in this country. And we need change. Look, he may make it to 4 years. He may make it to 8 years. Who knows? Because, look, I saw that rally in Alabama. There was a lot of happy people with Donald Trump. So I don't know the future. But what he's doing right now in this country is an embarrassment across the world. It is. And I'm not gonna be quiet about it anymore. If you follow me on Twitter and you don't like what I say, I highly suggest unfollow me, because if anything, I'm going to be even more vocal about this stuff now. I will not do it on this podcast. I'm just getting this out because I need to get it out. But we got to take a stand. We got to unite as a people. And this is not about race, you know, religion, political affiliation, any of that. This guy is literally ruining this country, and we got to do something about it. We have to. So write your congressman. Vote, obviously, is the biggest thing that you can do, but be vocal. That's all I'm saying. Rant off. Let's go talk video games.
And there you go, man. And Paris, thank you for doing that, man. You know, last time I talked about, you know, that I was part of a protest late last year. And I talked about it on a podcast. I felt good doing that, you know. And there was a couple of listeners that hit us up saying they unsubscribed the podcast because I did that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why I can't? I thought this is a free country, you know. So, you know, I did my part. Paris, you're doing your part for speaking up, you know, and I totally agree with you, man. So, and yeah, let's talk about video games. Let's do this, man. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Also, you can watch us live on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. And you could watch us live Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple of topics here. And Paris, we have to go talk about this. PUBG versus Fortnite Battle Royale. So yesterday, No, actually, it was on Friday. Friday, I was flying to San Francisco. And, you know, I'm always taking advantage of the Wi-Fi on the plane. So I just want to know what's going on, you know, Twitter, emails. So I got an email from the developers, the PR of the developers of PlayerUnknown's Battleground. And they are upset about the new mode that Epic added to the Fortnite Battle Royale, which is similar to Battlegrounds. And the whole email sounded like a whole PR saltiness, man. Like, there was salt everywhere in that PR. They were really, really mad. And I think they might even take legal action because of this. Now, my question is to you, Paris. What are your thoughts about this, man? Because I personally think is the most stupidest thing that a company have ever done, man, by releasing a press release talking about this, not knowing the history of gaming that many companies have done this. When Mario Brothers was pretty popular, Sega came out and released Sonic. Then Nintendo did the same thing and try to sue Sega. No, that it's always been going on since back in the day, Sue, man. In every industry, I think, you know. So your thoughts about this, man?
Actually, I think you're going to be surprised with my comment, because I read an article on PC Gamer, and C.H. Kim, who is the VP and executive producer over at Bluehole, contacted PC Gamer and they had an interview and clarified why they did what they did. When I first heard this, I'm with you. I'm like, dude, what the frick? It's competition. Who cares? Why are you putting out press releases and suing them? Look, you may not like it, but to go to the fact that you want to try and sue them and all that seemed kind of ridiculous to me. But actually reading this interview, I kind of get it now. They're upset because they licensed the Unreal Engine from Epic, and they pay huge royalties to Epic for said engine. And the fact that Epic would use the Battle Royale name and basically copy and paste exactly what they're doing with PUBG, that's why they're taking issue with this, because it's almost like, hey, we get the engine from you. We're already paying you for this, and you're literally just going to copy our game. And they made examples of like the Grand Theft Auto 5 online mode, other modes. They aren't afraid of competition. They aren't afraid of other companies making a quote unquote PUBG clone. They're just upset specifically with Epic doing it, considering the relationship that they have with Epic. So in that way, I understand it. I really do. I get why they were vocal about this and why they're taking action against it, because it almost would be like, and I'm just using a weird example. Let's say Bungie was still a part of Microsoft, right? And yeah, they were still making Halo games. And now all of a sudden Bungie became independent from Microsoft, but they were still making the Halo games for Microsoft, right? But then Microsoft was like, we're just going to make an exact clone of it. And we're going to call it, I don't know, first person shooter in space, and all the assets about it were exactly the same. I kind of think Bungie would have a problem with that, you know, because in other words, what Bluehole is saying, you're literally taking all of our assets and our name and everything that made this game popular, and you're using it to make a profit for yourself. So in that way, I understand why they did it. But even with that said, I think this should have been handled behind closed doors. You should not have made it public. You should not have put out a press release. You should not have threatened legal action. The fact that you are partners with Epic because you licensed their engine, you should have handled this internally versus making it public. And now we see what we see with everyone, you know, being on both sides. Everyone's taking a side. Some people are with Bluehole. Some people are with Epic, blah, blah, blah. When honestly, this could have been handled behind closed doors. The public didn't even need to know. And maybe we see Fortnite change the name of it and then everyone's happy. I don't know. So like I said, after reading our article, I do see Bluehole's side of it. But at the same time, you know, this was just built off of mod from Arma 3. I mean, if you really want to get technical with it. And like I said, they say in the article, they aren't afraid of competition. They understand, look, you know, forgery is the biggest, you know, form of flattery, right? So they get that people are going to make clones of it and copy it and have their own take on it. It's just because of the specific relationship that they have with Epic is why they have a problem with this.
So I was reading also an article on IGN. You know Stephanie Tinsley? interviewed her, and she said this. She said, typically, you will let the other party know through a legal team, right, for them to, instead of releasing a press release, which, like I said, that was a huge mistake for them to do that. But here's what's going to happen. By them doing this and sending a press release, you're promoting Fortnite, so now more people are going to be curious about Fortnite. Because honestly, if they would have said this behind closed doors, behind the scenes, doing this without no press release, nobody would have not known about this. But now that they sent the press release, you're actually promoting this game mode. That's number one. Number two is they don't have a patent of this. They don't own a game type. You know, they would have not even exist if it wasn't for this game called H1Z1. Remember that, Paris?
Well, that's what I said. If you really want to take this back to its core, it is a mod from Armor 3. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's just, I personally think it was very tacky of them to do that, man. Very, very tacky. And you basically promoted, you're promoting Fortnite. So now a lot of people are going to be curious about the game. And, you know, especially next year that this game is going to be free. Dude, they're promoting this big time, man. I think, man. You know, so I don't know. I think I don't see them winning this. I don't see them winning.
But that's what Blue Hole is saying. You're giving this away for free. We're trying to charge it. You basically clone what we did. We're already paying you the license for it. We're going to lose money over this because you're taking advantage of our close relationship with you. That's what I'm saying. They didn't have, I get doing something about it. I just don't think they should have done it so publicly. That's what I'm saying. I see Blue Hole's point, and I would go to Evan and be like, hey, yo, what are you doing here? You're giving this away. You're basically taking the Battle Royale name. You know, we're using the same engine. It's literally the same game. You're giving away for free. We're trying to charge for it. We just partnered with Microsoft, the whole publishing deal and all that. What are you guys doing? You know, that, like I said, I get it. Trust me, I get it. You know, from if I'm a business and I see someone that I have a relationship with in another business take all my ideas and literally undercut me in said idea, gonna have a problem with that. Like I said, my only thing is shouldn't have done it the way that they did it publicly. That's all.
It's the same thing to me as, you know, Guitar Hero, very popular game back in the days. You know, the developers left that company and started their own music game, Rock Band. There was no beef like that behind closed doors. There were probably battle-wise, like, who will sell more games? Of course, yeah, that happens all the time. But we never seen, like, you know, lawyers involved and press release and stuff like that. It's going to happen, man. It's going to happen, you know? So, look, all these zombie games. There's games that probably copy Grand Theft Auto or Assassin's Creed and so on. So, I don't know, man. I just totally disagree with this whole thing. This is a stupid done move from them to send out a press release, man. I was in shock when I read that on the plane. I'm like,
see, I disagree calling it a stupid done move. Go read the PC Gamer article. If you go read that, guarantee your opinion will change on that. It's not a dumb thing. Dude, this is a business, man. This is about making money.
I'm talking about Paris. I'm talking about sending a press release. That, to me, is a done move. Taking legal action behind the closed doors, behind the scenes, yo, go for it. That's all on you. Okay, go for it. I just felt like, what is are they going to get out of it by them sending a full press release talking about the other game?
Well, they obviously put it in the public eye. That was their point. And like I said, I think that was a mistake. I don't agree with him doing that.
So that's the mistake.
That's the thing
that we agree on. If they want to get lawyers involved, okay, go for it. I just think that was just dumb doing the whole PR press release, man. I think it was very, very dumb. You're promoting the game. They actually have the name of the game on that press release. And this, remember, Battlegrounds has how many already sold?
Is it 10 now?
Do you know?
I think it's 10 million.
10 million?
I think.
Now, by them promoting that, that's 10 million people. They'll be like, wow, really? It's similar to Battlegrounds? Let me check it out. You're helping Epic by doing that. That's the thing that I have an issue with.
Well, again, and we don't need to spend too much because I think we basically agree on it. But like I said, I'm just trying to look at it from the Blue Hole standpoint. You know, they're ramping up to what potentially could be a historic console launch for them, which is going to make them a ton of money because partnering with Microsoft and Microsoft being the publisher on this and helping to promote this game along with the launch of the Xbox One X. That's why I really hope we start to see a launch date with this. We start to see some actual marketing promotion around this, quote unquote, being one of the launch window titles for Xbox One X, because it's going to help both companies in that way. Because everyone knows about PUBG at this point. It's a huge game on the PC, and coming to the console exclusively to Xbox is going to be big. And if they got the whole 4K and it's smooth experience, the controller works just great on Xbox Live, on Xbox One X, dude, flying off shelves, both the console and the game. So this is actually a very big holiday for Blue Hole and PUBG. So I wouldn't want someone undercutting me right before I'm about to make the huge marketing announcements about this. I want it to be about my game on this new console that's about to come out. So again, I get it. Like we both agree, the way they did it was the wrong approach, but I trust me, 100, I understand them wanting to take some kind of action against Epic doing this.
Now, my question to you, Paris, when do you think this game is going to come out? They said it's coming out this year.
December.
So, December, I think first, second week of December, right? Right before the holidays, which is great because, you know, people already purchased the console early November, maybe more during Black Friday, right? And then just start promoting the game. It's coming out this day. It's coming out this day. I think they should announce an official release date soon, sometime early October, I think, to hype it up.
Yeah, like I said, and tie it into, hey, on November, what is it, November 3rd or 7th or whatever date it is, get Xbox One X, and then waka waka, 1 month later, go get PUBG.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't believe you say waka waka.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Cool, man.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential. And the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring two, three, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Speaking of Xbox One X, you know, for those that never got to see the console, that, you know, they're still curious about whole 4K experience and everything, you could go right now and they have a demo, like all the demos. I think you could go to like your local Best Buy and try it out before it comes out. So that's pretty cool. And I think already a couple of people have been posting on Twitter that they are going to be getting a review copy of Xbox One X very, very soon. So I think you're going to see a lot of people talking about this system mid the end of October, right before the launch of the console early November.
And it's smart because we already know that there's going to be Xbox One X enhanced games that are literally coming out now. Forza 7 is about to come out. Shadow of War is about to come out. And then obviously some of the backwards compatible stuff, you know, not the backwards compatible, but the previous Xbox One games are being enhanced to do the 4K stuff, like notably Gears of War 4, Halo 5, things like that. So it'd be smart to get this in the hands of reviewers a few weeks early so they can go through the whole library of games, the new ones, and go to the back, you know, old ones, etc., and just get a full range of opinions and looks at games so we see how they run on Xbox One X. So I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Microsoft, why don't you send us a review one? Danny will do it. Look, it won't be me because, you know, I'm salty and angry. But send it to Danny. No, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the reviews and everything. Because, I'll say this, and I've said it before. If I didn't have, which you can't, Twitch people, you can't see it, it's right off screen. If I didn't have this PC, I'd probably be getting one. I really would. And that's just being 100% honest. But every time I try to convince myself, man, Do I want an Xbox One X? Should I get one? I go, but all the games are on the PC and I can play them in 4K on the PC. No. And it's simple as that. If it wasn't for Xbox Play Anywhere, I probably would get one. But as we've said in the past, look, I've kind of changed my mind, and I kind of think it's almost a mistake that they did Xbox Play Anywhere, because I think it would push more people to actually pick up the console. But maybe that's not their strategy. They just want people in the ecosystem, which I'm in the ecosystem. I'm still in the Xbox ecosystem because there's games on Xbox I want to play. Forza 7 is a game I want to play. Cuphead is a game I want to play, you know, as an example. I'm sure Halo 6 next year is a game I want to play. Gears of War 4 is a game that I still play. So I'm in the ecosystem. I play Microsoft games. And I think as long as they keep people in the ecosystem, who knows down the road? Maybe my son all of a sudden starts bugging me that he wants to play an Xbox game with me. And then I go get one. I don't know. But at launch, I don't have a need for Xbox One X, but I am excited that we're getting this console and the potential of what it's going to have down the road. Which, Danny, if you remember, again, nameless EA employee we had breakfast with at PAX. And remember, we debated this. And
he gave
such an excellent point. On, look, I'm not going to give it a reason why, because I don't know if he wants me to talk about it in public.
But he
gave such a great point on why Microsoft is doing Xbox One X and what that means for the future of Microsoft and Sony when it comes to PlayStation 5. And when he told me that, I sat there befuddled for a second and I go, he's right. He's right. I get it. So, so it was a great conversation.
That's the thing that I love about, like, when we go to the events and just hang out with, you know, our friends as part of the industry. We start, you know, we have sometimes some debates and some things we agree and some don't. But at the same time, we learn more, like, brand new things that we never even thought about, man. So imagine, you know, people that have never been through that conversation. That's why I always recommend people to just listen to our podcast, because there's probably going to be things that maybe we'll learn at an event while we're talking to friends that we could talk about here, you know, on the podcast. And at the same time, just learn more about the industry, behind the scenes stuff that typically people don't talk about it online, man. You know?
Yeah, so, agreed. And let's be clear on this, because I know sometimes people get grumpy at us with our opinions or everything because they don't agree, which is fine. That's the whole point of having this back and forth on social media. And obviously we do the podcast. If we all agreed, everything would be boring. But like for me, I can't speak for Danny or Pete, but for me, you know, I love it when I'm wrong because that means I'm learning something. And here's an instance where I was dead set, where I had this opinion on PlayStation and Xbox and what they were doing in the future. And then I heard a different perspective on it and it made me think, and I go, well, maybe I'm not right. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. And that's the great thing about doing this podcast, talking on social media, being at events like PAX and EA, E3, E3 and all that, because you know, like you said, we get those differing opinions. And as long as you're open to hearing other people's opinions, you're going to grow as a person. And that's what I strive to be. I'm strive to always learn and grow. Despite what some people may think, I'm not as angry and as closed-minded as you may think. I do like to hear other opinions. I really do.
All right. Now a word from a sponsor. And I've been saying this for a while. I'm a huge, huge fan of CBS All Access. I'm always watching it because, of course, I could watch the live stream of Big Brother, you know, and I could watch a couple of those shows. But here's one show that I'm very excited to watch is the new Star Trek Discovery. Star Trek, one of the most iconic and influential global television franchise, returns 50 years after its first premiere with Star Trek Discovery. The CBS All Access original series features a new ship, new characters, new missions, and while embracing the same mythology and hope for the future that inspired a generation of dreamers and doers, Star Trek Discovery is available exclusively on CBS All Access, and it premieres Sunday, September 24th, 8:30, 7:30 Central. Stream the world premiere live, then watch the next episode on demand immediately after. CBS All Access subscribers can watch the epic journey unfold every Sunday across all devices. Start your free trial. Go to cbs.com/Star Trek. One more time, GTR listeners, go right now for a free trial. Type cbs.com/Star Trek.
back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
No, so this week, it's an important week because there's a couple of things coming out but on Friday. So number one, we got Forza. For those that pre-order, I think the special edition, you get like the game 3 days early, a couple of days early. So you'll get it on Friday. Also, Cuphead Paris is coming out this week. It's only $20. I'm very excited about that. Very challenging game. So I can't wait to try it out. And also, I'm on a mission on Friday, actually Thursday night, like around 10 p.m., maybe 9. I'm gonna go to a couple of stores locally in Miami, Florida, and I'm on a mission to get myself a Super Nintendo Classic System. I heard that each Target store are gonna get 40 units. I think usually Best Buy gets more out of everybody, and also Walmart. So I'm probably going to go to those three stores in Miami until I find one. So not 100% sure. I mentioned this to Paris, and I think I mentioned to P. I'm not sure. I gotta talk to him about this. But I want to maybe if I find a place that they're going to have a lot of units, maybe record live here. Not record live, but stream live on Twitch and just have a conversation. I'll show you what's going on and everything behind the scenes before the launch of the Super NES. So I'm very excited because, yo, it's all one of my favorite systems of all time besides the Dreamcast is Super Nintendo, and there's a lot of games there that I see myself playing it all over again, man, that is there. So, you know, F-Zero, especially Star Fox 2, nobody has ever played that unless you download the emulator online, you know, but this game never has been released, and I'm very excited about it to try it out for the first time. And so on. So I think it's personally to me, it's just history, you know. So that's why I want to get this this console, man. So I'm very, very excited. I'm on a mission. I don't care if I have to be up all night. I'm gonna get it this Thursday night. I'm gonna get it. Confident, super confident.
Well, good luck to you. And if you actually look at the screen right now, I'm holding it up to the camera right now. This is a Nintendo Switch. And you standing outside in line to get that Super Nintendo Classic, it should be on this. All these games that you want to play should be on this. They should not be on this console that they're having limited supply and silly parents like me got to stand out in the cold at 1 o'clock in the morning trying to get for Christmas. I'm passing. I'm tapping because the NES Classic taught me that, hey, it was a great nostalgia thing at first. And dude, that thing's collecting dust now. No one in this house plays it anymore. I want those classic games on the Switch. I want the virtual console. That's what I want. So I'm just going to wait for that. I'm not going to get the Super Nintendo Classic.
No, I agree with you, Paris. I agree. But remember that, you know, I have friends, I have family members that they probably don't want to spend no $300 for a Nintendo Switch. So for them, $80 and having 20-something games in there, to them, that's a better investment. So remember, that's a crowd out there that don't want to buy a Nintendo Switch. They don't want to spend $300. And there's also a crowd like me that are just a fan of games and just love to collect these things, you know?
Oh, look, I get it. I'm speaking for me. I'm speaking for Paris right now. Paris ain't gonna go stand out at midnight trying to
in the cold.
Like, hey, like I'm a tornado chaser or something going around from store to store. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that.
I've done it many times, but yeah, that's me.
Now that I have a Switch and I get the vast potential of a Switch, I want the virtual console. I want those old games on the virtual console. If I got to double dip and pay for them again at a reasonable price, so be it. I will. Because to be perfectly honest with you, there's only a handful of games I truly want to play from the NES, from Super Nintendo, the N64, and the GameCube that I would like to see on the Switch. So it's I could probably count maybe 10, maybe 15 games, right? So put those on a virtual console and I'll get those as I see fit. You know, like one I just would die to have right now on the Switch is Super Mario Brothers 3 or even from the Super NES would be Super Mario World. Would die to have those. I almost said Link to the Past, but oh my God, why am I forgetting the name? It is linked to the past. Is it linked? It
yeah,
is linked
Zelda.
To the past.
Yeah, it is linked to the past. That's Super Nintendo game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a classic.
Which is probably
one of the best Zelda games.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to have those games on the Switch. You know what I mean? You know, Super Mario 64. I would love to have on the Switch as another example. So I'll wait. I'm going to wait because I already know if I got that Super Nintendo, we'd get it. We'd go crazy over it for a month and then we'd never touch it again. You know, that's my house though.
Yeah, I do have to mention this because, you know, I traveled to San Francisco. So, you know, thanks to Nintendo of America, they gave me a code of Metroid, Samus Return for the Nintendo 3DS, the new 3DS, of course. So, you know, I've been playing Nintendo Switch for a while now, for a couple of months. So going back to the 3DS was kind of weird for me because the whole controller is different compared to like Nintendo Switch and everything. So I was playing it. Don't get me wrong. It's, you know, the game is phenomenal. One of the best 3DS games that I played so far, right? And one of the best Metro games that came out in a very long time. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I wish they were to release this on a Nintendo Switch instead of the 3DS, man. Because, man, now I was carrying both of them. I carry my 3DS and my Switch when I went to San Francisco now, you know? So, I don't know. The game is awesome. So for those that haven't had a chance to play it, make sure to get it. It's super cheap now too, the 3DS and the 3DS games. So go check it out. But I'll probably talk about that more once I get more like farther in the game. So
nice. Let me pause this and steer it back to politics for just a tight second. I see, because the Ravens and the Jaguars are already playing in London right now, right? So for the national anthem, Jaguar players, some of them did take a knee while the entire team all locked in hands, and then the Raven players all took a knee as well. So it started.
All of them?
Nah, I don't know if it's all, but the picture they're showing, it's the vast majority of them, because there's a picture with them with Ray Lewis and a bunch of the players all taking a knee. But I guess, regardless, they all made a statement, because if they didn't take a knee, they all held hands. So that's good. Glad to see that.
Cool, man. And also, speaking about the Nintendo Switch, Paris, are you surprised about Doom and Wolfenstein 2 coming out on the Switch, man? But this is making moves.
Oh, no, it's good to see. It's good to see. It goes back to what we talked about before the Switch even came out. Third parties aren't going to jump on board unless they see potential in it, right? And I think what we've seen now with the Switch, even in these early days, the great potential that it has. I mean, obviously, Nintendo themselves have been making some fantastic games for it. We've obviously seen with Mario plus Rabbids, you know, Ubisoft is a great example of a third party who's made a fantastic game for it as well. So Bethesda sees that potential too. So they're like, hey, let's port one of our older games in Doom, put it on there. It's not going to hurt us to put it out there and see what it does. And then let's take one of our new games, Wolfenstein 2. Put that on there too. Mm-hmm. Why not? Yeah. Let's see what happens this holiday with it. And I think you said this, and I can't remember if it was a couple other people. I can't remember who else said this. They were saying now they have to actually think before they buy a third party game if it's going to be on the Switch or on regular console. I agree and disagree with that. I agree. I love being able to take a AAA game anywhere with me. But at the same time, and this is just me being a graphics whore at this point, I want the best visual experience possible. So something like Wolfenstein 2, I'm going to want to play it on the PC. But then in the back of my head, it was like, man, it'd be so awesome to be able to take that with me wherever I go. So it's almost one of those things I'd have to take in a case-by-case basis. You know what I mean? But I do see what you're saying when you say that, you know, hey, maybe I'd have to take a second look at a third-party game if it's going to show up on the Switch as well as being on the PC and the other consoles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, you know, PlayStation 4 and Xbox, it's kind of the same systems, in my opinion. You know, what makes the Nintendo Switch so different is that feature of on the go. I could just go travel, take these games with me and continue playing instead of like, oh, man, let me wait until I get home. So every time I see a game that is available for the Xbox, for the PlayStation, and also now for the Nintendo Switch. Now I'm like, man, I'd rather just get the Nintendo Switch because, like, yo, I'm hardly home. I'm out doing stuff. I could play it on a plane, on the, like, transportation, car, whatever. And I like that, man. I like that big time, man. So I mean, the only thing that's going to be kind of weird is the whole multiplayer side of things, you know. But single player wise, on the go, amazing, dude. Amazing.
Yeah.
So I read here that Doom on the Switch runs at 30 FPS. You need to download the multiplayer feature in the game. I believe it's like 9 gigs or so. And also docked and undocked, it will run at 720p.
And that's fair. And that's fair. I mean, for what the Switch hardware is, be able to 720p, 30 frames per second for a game like that is fine. I mean, if Wolfenstein 2 is doing the same thing, that's fine. You know, because that the Switch isn't meant to be this graphical, visual, you know, leader. I can't even talk. Sorry. But, you know, for it to be able to do that, that means it's playable and it can be an enjoyable experience. And I think we all agree the way to play most Switch games is going to be, you know, mobile versus docked onto your TV. Like I said, I don't think I've even played a game yet with it docked in my TV. I always just play it, you know, in a mobile mode.
All right. So it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
We haven't done this in a while, Paris. I know we did it last episode, but you haven't been on to do fan mail and stuff. So let's see. We have here a question. You know, you could post your questions on Discord. You can send us email, call us, or voicemail. Or you could go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. And also you could record your voicemail there and we'll play it on the show. So make sure to continue to send us questions here, man. So let's see. I have here, this is a great question. This is from One Subset. This is actually for me, Paris, but I don't know if you want me to read it or you want to read it. It's up to you.
I don't have it in front of me, so I guess you're reading it.
It's a Discord. Okay, it's a Discord. All right. Yeah. All right. He goes, hello there, GTR crew. This is specifically for Danny. I believe he's the only nostalgic gamer of GTR. Really? I disagree. I know Paris and P. They, I think more Paris and P. But you play these old games sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah, like of course. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So I recently discovered that the Dreamcast is alive and still thinking. It has online support and also has new games, some of which are from some developers that supported Xbox and PlayStation. I wanted to know if you were aware of this. This news to me, and due to the Dreamcast junkyard, other Dreamcast-related sites, it seems that the Dreamcast is thriving well. I have not yet gotten my Dreamcast online, but I hope to by the end of the year. Just wanted to know, what are your thoughts of this, Danny? And as always, I love the content that you guys give to us. And I appreciate all your hard work and travel that you guys go through. Don't ever stop doing what you're doing. Peace. One Subset. Thanks for the email. Actually, this is from Discord, of course. But yes, I've been reading that there's still developers releasing content for the Sega Dreamcast, which is crazy. And also, I read that, you know, the fans have hacked the system in a way that still to this day in 2017, they're playing Phantasy Star Online, the first one, and also version 2 of that game. They're playing it online through their own servers, and there's a whole community that's been doing that for years, nonstop, and has all the DLC, all the quests, everything, and they figure it out. And I like that. You know, I love that people still to this day they're playing online games for the Sega Dreamcast, man. So that's awesome. Now, I believe there was one person that also asked, is it possible for Sega to release all these Sega Dreamcast days for like the PlayStation and Xbox? And yeah, they could do that, but I really doubt they're going to do that. That's more money for them that they're going to be like investing for developers to port those games to these consoles. I don't see that happening. Maybe some, they've done that with Jet Grind Radio. I think they're going to do that with Shenmue because Shenmue 3 is coming out and so on. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm a huge fan of the Sega Dreamcast. I still to this day, I have magazines from back in those days when the system came out and everything, man. And that was a game changer to me, man. Online-wise, it was a huge game changer. So if you guys don't know much about the history of Sega Dreamcast, I mean, go to YouTube. There's videos of it, like special documentaries about it, the history about that and everything, man. So check it out, man. I truly love that system, man. And I'm happy that there's still content coming out for that, man. So anything you want to say, Paris, about it?
No, I mean, I think it's great that the Dreamcast has lived on, you know, to this very day, like you said, with games like that, that basically the community has continued to support it. Because let's just be real, we've talked about this in the past. We aren't where we are today with gaming if it wasn't for Sega and the Dreamcast, because they innovated so many things back in the late 90s, early 2000s with that. Like I said, my first online console gaming experience was NFL, I guess that was 2K1.
2K1.
And trash talking on a keyboard. I thought that was just the greatest thing ever.
Ever.
You know what I'm saying?
Did they have the 4v4 online on this? I think it was that game. For 2K1.
I don't remember.
I think it was. But go ahead.
Yeah. I know he cussed me out, folks. You know. No. But that was pretty much it. I mean, it's just like I said. It's so great to see that Dreamcast is still being supported. You know, and it's a darn shame because like you're starting to talk about some of these first party Sega games that hey they potentially could bring back on the other consoles. It's a darn shame that Sega couldn't survive, at least as a publisher. And that's always been the one fear when people say with Nintendo, oh, Nintendo, just become a third-party publisher. Stop making hardware. No, I'm glad Nintendo still does what Nintendo does, because I would not want Nintendo to go away the same way that Sega did, because Sega made so many great games back in the day. And now that company is just basically a shadow of itself. So, I would love to see a renaissance of Sega and them to come back, see some of their big, you know, first party, but some of their original IPs show up, you know, on PlayStation or Xbox, or hey, even the Switch. How about that? You know, Sega games on Nintendo. But I would love to see it. Hopefully that could happen one day. I mean, we'll see. But like I said, with Dreamcast, I'm glad that it still exists in some form.
All right. So here's another question. This is from Sean all the way from Connecticut. Shout out to him, man. He says he loves the show, and as of today, it seems that the Switch can stay on store shelves, and the Xbox One X pre-orders seem to be doing better than what anyone initially thought. With that being said, do you think Nintendo and Microsoft should sustain this momentum deep into 2018 and beyond? Just wanted your thoughts on this. Thanks. Thanks for the email, man. Paris?
Simple. Games. I mean, it really comes down to that. If Microsoft can announce some heavy hitting exclusive titles for Xbox into 2018, 2019, sure, why not? But until I see it, I won't believe it. I don't think so. My answer today is no until I'm actually proven wrong. And I hope I'm proven wrong.
See, I gotta give props to Aaron Greenberg and his team. Because and actually, as also like at PAX, we got to see him over there and everything. You know, dude, he's hustling, man. He is going all out. Like, look, let's be real, Paris. They know they don't have the big first party games for this holiday. They know it happens in the past with other companies. You know, like PlayStation and everything. They know, but they're working what they have right now. You know, they're probably behind the scenes are working for. They're working on more projects for the future, 2018 and so on. Because that's the only way they could sell consoles, man. If you don't have these special exclusive games, it's not going to be enough for you to sell these consoles. So, but the thing that I like about the whole team and everything is, yo, Taco Bell, doing all these events, yo, talking on like Twitter, attending all these events, promoting the console. Like, dude, they're going all out, man. All out. So I got to give props to them, man.
No, agreed. You agreed. You know, they got the Samsung partnership thing that's coming up as well. Look, the marketing's going to be on point. It's Microsoft and they got the war chest to do it. So don't get it twisted. Everybody and their mama is going to know about Xbox One X this holiday. Mm-hmm. Like, he said in the email, my thing is, what is it going to look like next year? You know, and the only way it's going to be great next year is you got compelling content that people are going to want to play on it. I mean, that's just the bottom line on it. You know, there's no way around that. If you don't have games that people want to play, people, because now we're talking the more casual gamer, you're asking to spend $500 on this. So you need to give them a compelling reason. Look, this holiday, this is all the crazy people like us. We're all going to go get it. You know what I'm saying? The people listening to this, these are the hardcore people. We'll spend the $500. They're going to go get it. It's going to fly off of store shelves. You probably won't even see a Scorpion on a store shelf in 2017. But when
and
we
I was,
get,
yeah, go for it.
No. You go for it, Danny. I'm gonna stop talking.
No. It's the lag. It sounded like you were quiet. It's not my fault, guys.
It is his fault. No, that was it. Go for it. Talk.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say that, you know, and I've been saying this now for a while, and I think I mentioned to you guys, P and Paris. I know Paris. P is not here, but I think this year, out of the whole three companies, I think this has been the greatest year for Nintendo ever. And I think they released the best first party games, more than PlayStation, more than Xbox in 2017. So I think this has been the greatest lineup for Nintendo in years. In years. I think we go even way back into the 90s, man. They are kicking butt with the Nintendo Switch. Every month, a first-party game has been coming out since March. Since March of 2017. Every month, they've been releasing something, right? Not only that, every week, there's new indie games for the Switch. Now, during the holidays, we have Mario Odyssey coming out. They have Xenoblade coming out. Just now recently, I think this past Friday, they had the Pokemon fighting game that already came out. So they have content. Tell me if PlayStation and Xbox has been doing that this year. Now, don't get me wrong, PlayStation has been sending, of course, way more units, but I think Nintendo is slowly coming up there, man. Slowly. They've been kicking ass, man, this year. So I just wanted to say that very quick. But Paris, I sent you an email. I don't know if you want to read that.
It's way too long. I don't want to read
what
that. That's way too long.
Guys, I will read this, though.
I'll read this.
Yeah. Go for it.
This one is from, oh man, Adam, I'm a butcher this, brother. He goes, Gokhan. I'm going to say Gokhan. I guess it's like Gohan from Dragon Ball Z. He says, hello, GTR. Just a quick one for Paris, a.k.a. the speaker for Destiny 2. I don't know. That made me laugh when I read it. I'm not the speaker. There's way more verse people in the Destiny verse than I am. What am I supposed to do with Glimmer? He goes 9999999. He's at the cap basically. Should I buy something besides mod, ship, sparrow? Am I missing something? Congrats on the 700th episode, guys. Love what you do. Always a pleasure listening to you while I'm driving. And he gives his gamer tag. So thank you for that email. Appreciate it. You're already doing what you're supposed to do with the Glimmer. I mean, if you're capped out, you're fine. I mean, you'll see as you're buying mods and some other things, you know, infusing and all that, you're going to spend Glimmer on it. But hey, they've made it easy that we don't necessarily need to worry about Glimmer anymore. So that's a good thing. So there's really nothing else that you could do right now. Look, I'll say this about Destiny 2. And I always give the disclaimer, you know, I'm biased because I love the freaking game. But I'm going to say something negative again. So Bungie might get me. Yeah, they get me. While I love the game, I have like we were doing a raid yesterday, you know, I still have some problems with it. Whereas like, I feel like there's certain parts of the game right now, now that I'm at that 300 level, I've actually started my warlock. So I'm leveling that up. There's not a lot to do at the end game that matters beyond doing the raid and trials. Like strikes, there's no heroic strike playlist anymore. Pointless. I have zero reason to go do a strike anymore. You know, I can go run. I can basically go spam public events to try and get exotic engrams. I do the Kate treasure maps at the reset. I might get an exotic engram to drop from that. But right now, and I know faction rally's coming next week, so hopefully that'll change things up. But right now, today, unless I'm doing the raid or I'm doing trials, there's not a lot of compelling in-game content. You know, look, Crucible's fun just to run Crucible or whatever, but it's almost like they took a lot of the things that were at the end of Destiny 1 and they stripped them out of Destiny 2, and maybe they're going to bring them back later. This is still a great upgrade from what vanilla Destiny was back in 2014. But if I compare it to what Destiny was, Rise of Iron Destiny, to what Destiny 2 is right now, there's still a lot of room for improvement. There is. There's a lot of things missing that need to be added. And I'm confident Bungie will. But here in the early days is really just about the raid and trials. It is. So that's all. That's my Destiny Talk Radio for today.
Yeah. Well, I do have this to say, Paris. I'm wondering what are the plans for, you know, next month and beyond? Because here now, September is wrapping up. They already, you know, posted their schedule of the weekly updates that they're going to have. So I'm very curious to know what's going to happen next month. What's going to happen in November? Like, what type of content we're going to be getting?
Well,
because I'm very curious about the whole
Danny,
faction rally.
Danny, so. I'm going to cut you off now because you love to cut me off.
It. See, I don't. You don't see me complaining. Go for it. Go for
I
it.
Know you don't complain because how can you complain when it's something you do all the time? Anyway, no, all jokes. No, actually, if you go to Bungie.net, they put out a roadmap for what they have coming up here. Like I said, Faction Rally is next week. Iron Banner is going to be coming back. We're obviously going to get prestige mode for the raid, and then we're going to get challenge mode for the raid. So there's still content that's going to be coming. And then obviously Destiny 2 launches on the PC. I'm sure they have something built around that as well. And then we know that Osiris DLC is most likely coming in December. Like literally as we were recording this episode, I was thinking about it. PlayStation Experience is that first week of December. My guess, we'll go to PlayStation Experience, probably get a sneak peek of that DLC, and then it'll be out right after PlayStation Experience. So I would imagine we'll probably see it the second week of December. But yeah, that's kind of your roadmap. I would say, honestly, Danny, for that month of November, don't expect a lot beyond Iron Banner and just playing hard mode raid and challenge mode, because they're going to want to, because when that DLC drops in December, that's going to be the big update. And hopefully they'll have some more additional features and quality of life stuff, because they're getting feedback from us now. And that's the one thing that I try to preach to people, because dude, if you go to Destiny Reddit right now, that you think I'm salty, they literally just jumped in the Morton's cup and sealed it. Cause that is just the saltiest thing I've ever seen right now. Everybody's complaining on there. But I think people are forgetting that this is still early days. We aren't even past the first month of launch, right? So everything's not going to be perfect. They're getting our feedback now. There's things that they got to fix. You know, there just is. Now, if we get to January, February, and we're still talking about the same things, then we have a problem. But early days, I'm not too concerned about it. Like I said, I'm still loving the game. I mean, there's still things to do. Like I'll say this. I jumped into a raid last night with Khalif over at Spawn on Me and Andrew from the show Radio. And we had two special guests who I won't name, but they're known in the community. And we were doing that last part of the raid. And we didn't finish it, you know, because I ran out of time. I had to go do some stuff. But we had fun, man. And that's the thing about Destiny. As much as I may complain about little nitpick things about the game, when you're actually playing it, it's fun as hell. It's always fun. And the whole point of it is getting people together in a social setting, and we're working together as one to accomplish a goal. So I would just say that is the last thing about Destiny for anyone that's still on the fence about it. You know, it is such an amazing social co-op game that I highly suggest everyone give it a chance.
Definitely, man. All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure to spread the word. Let people know about GTR. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Just search Gamertag Radio and you will find us. If you have also get a chance to, if you find us, please go and review us and so on. Help spread the word about GTR. You were about to say something, Paris?
I'll address Peter in the after show. I won't do it now, but I got some words for Peter because he's in the chat. So, continue, please.
That's all good. Also, you can watch us live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/gamertagradio. You can watch us live every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also Wednesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
This Wednesday, I think we're going to have an interview. We're working on it. I don't want to say much right now because it's not 100%, but it's looking like we might have an interview for this Wednesday night. So, make sure to tune in and check us out this Wednesday, man. All right. Anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.